Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the 5571 podcast. My name is Danny, and this is a podcast all about what's new and what's happening at the Disneyland Resort in Southern California. We also cover other theme parks as well, too, and even go over some in-depth topics over at Disneyland as well. But for this episode, we're going to be talking about current events and what's new and what's happening specifically as we get closer and closer to the holidays themselves at Disneyland Resort. Of course, the holiday season already began, but we get into the month of December. We start things like candlelight processional, candy cane, like purchasing for the handmade candy canes and all that. All the things and traditions that people have and love at the holiday season. But of course, it also means blockout dates for magic key holders. So let's go ahead and get into it. To start off our news, I wanted to head over to Disneyland Park to talk about Disney's Wish, the new movie that just came out over the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. Of course, the main character from that movie, her name is Asha, and she now appears at Disneyland Resort for character meet and greet. There's also a brand new popcorn bucket from the movie themed to Valentino, who's the goat character, her sidekick character in the movie. And then there's a sipper that's shaped like the star from the movie as well. The star is probably the star of the show and the one that everyone wants, all the merchandise and things like that. He's very merchandisable, very cute little star shape, right? So that's a sipper available at a lot of different dining locations and typically mobile orderable as well too. The popcorn bucket is like any other popcorn bucket. You're going to get it at the popcorn stands on Main Street and throughout the different areas of Disneyland. And typically that's the only place you can get them. Sometimes they sell them for mobile order at food locations too, but I haven't specifically seen any of that at the time that I've been recording this podcast, but I did see the Wish sipper at multiple locations, so definitely check that out when you're doing mobile order at someplace in Disneyland. But as far as the meet and greet for Asha herself, it's going to be outside the Royal Hall in Fantasy Fair, right outside Fantasyland. So if you've been to Disneyland before, or if you haven't been before, there's an area just to the left of Sleeping Beauty's castle called Fantasy Fair. And this space right here is for basically princess meet and greets. And also there's entertainment here. It was a new addition back in 2011, I believe, that they added to Disneyland. But this area right outside the Royal Hall is where you actually meet and greet princesses, right? You wait in line to go inside the Royal Hall to meet different Disney princesses. They're always rotating which ones are available there. Sometimes they do meet and greets outside the Royal Hall in that little space just outside the main entrance to it. And that is where Asha's meet and greet is. So they've set up a small little meet and greet with some props and items that make it look like she's in Rosas, which is her hometown in the movie. They've added a bunch of cool little special effects. And special effects, I mean like little props and things all around it to really kind of make the area to match her home and things that you might recognize if you've seen the movie. They have yarn draped all over the tree, a little fun Easter egg if you've seen the movie and how that involves the star. They also have the little talking mushrooms right behind her as well. Lots of star things hanging in the tree for when it gets a little bit darker in the evening and she's meeting and greeting guests, they kind of light up. And of course, the rose symbol that we see all throughout the movie that represents the city of Rosas. So really, really cool meet and greet, I would say, especially giving all the little details and things they put, like the yarn in the tree and stuff like that. I love seeing these little details when they do meet and greets like this. We saw that with Raya and the Last Dragon, right? They really did a great job in kind of placemaking the area around her in the Redwood Creek Challenge Trail for her meet and greet. So really cool to see. The character herself looks a lot like Asha, so they did a really good job with this one. And again, that's over at Disneyland Park in Fantasy Fair, which is just outside the castle to the left of it. The hours aren't necessarily posted in the app, but if you head over to Fantasy Fair and speak to the cast members that work there, in and around the Princess Royal Hall or anything like that, they'll be able to share more information about probably when Asha is meeting and greeting guests for that day. I know at least on the first week that she was out meeting and greeting guests, she went a little bit later in the evening even. So There was definitely a lot of availability. I know obviously that'll probably change as, you know, the movie continues to be out longer. Typically we don't see, these meet and greets last too long, or they become, you know, something like a special thing that only pops up at like an After Dark event or something like that. So, definitely check it out if you have plans to go to Disneyland Resort and you've seen the movie. And even if you haven't seen the movie, go check it out too, because it might make you inspired to go see it. So definitely, when we have special things like this for a limited time, I always tell people to go experience it and do it, because you never know when it's going to head out from the parks. And speaking of Wish, we talked about this a little bit, I believe, on the last podcast episode, but I wanted to bring it up too, just because we were talking about the character meet and greet. So just things that you can do that are Wish related at the parks. Obviously, of course, there's the merchandise everywhere. We mentioned the popcorn bucket and the sipper, and of course, the character meet and greet. But over at Disney California Adventure Park, they are doing that short feature before World of Color Season of Light on all the fountains and water there and the Pixar Pier Bay area. They're going to be doing a little Wish featurette right before World of Color. So that'll be nightly. Every night that they have World of Color Season of Light, they're going to be playing this featurette for Wish. So a nice return to the level of marketing we saw in movies past. This was a tradition for a long time at Disney California Adventure. Ever since we've had World of Color in 2010, they've been doing these little featurettes for new movies that are out in theaters at the time. So it's nice to see it return again with Wish. So definitely go check that out. Lots of different things that you can see and do in relation to Wish at the Disneyland Resort. Like I said in the last episode, it's really nice to see and experience something from a brand new movie at Disney parks. It really kind of pays homage back to the old times of when that marketing machine was in place, like I mentioned, and you can go and experience the synergy, right, of the beauty of Disney parks that other theme parks don't have. You can go see a movie and then go to the theme park right away and experience something from that movie immediately, thanks to all the marketing teams that work together. Now, for the next part, I wanted to go into closure specifically, because we haven't kind of talked about that too much in the last few episodes. And I know a lot of people plan their trips to come to Disneyland Resort in that December, January timeframe. This is like their annual trip to Disneyland. So I want to make sure and mention some of these closures, because people are sometimes planning and don't realize kind of what's happening and what's closed, because it's not exactly the easiest way to find these closures anymore on the Disneyland website. There used to be like a clearly defined like refurbishment schedule that used to be on the Disneyland website, and it's kind of been taken down. And like I mentioned in past episodes, you kind of have to do the legwork yourself. You have to look at the hours of operation calendar and see which attractions are closed on that day and kind of go through the different calendar dates and see when the attraction disappears from that calendar date, so that you know, oh, okay, it's back open again because it's no longer listed as closed or refurbished as we continue through the calendar. Obviously, the first one, now that we have a reopening date, which we talked about again on the last podcast episode, Fantasmic is now on the calendar because we have a reopening date for it. So obviously, we lost this Disneyland Nighttime Spectacular back in April of this year, and we're expecting it to open on Memorial Day weekend of 2024. So back on the calendar. So when you're planning, as you know, for next summer, as long as you're coming after Memorial Day weekend, you're going to be seeing the brand new version of Fantasmic that Disneyland's going to be getting after the whole incident. So the return of a beloved nighttime spectacular again for the next summer holiday season. And of course, we are going to be having Wondrous Journeys returning after the holiday season as well. So a lot of people are going to be excited to see that fireworks show come back. More specifically, we've talked on this podcast before about Mark Twain Riverboat, one of my favorite attractions at Disneyland. I've actually covered the construction that's going on with this attraction on my updates on my YouTube channel about kind of what's been happening with the boat, what they've been doing to it. It's a really extensive refurbishment, and honestly, it probably really needed it, and what a perfect time to do it since Fantasmic is not happening at the moment. So the Mark Twain Riverboat, the last time I saw it was completely covered in scaffolding. They had been redoing the gold leafing on the smokestacks of the Mark Twain Riverboat, which looked really phenomenal in person from when they had done that. And it also received a brand new paddle wheel, right? The big, huge wheel at the back of the Mark Twain. there was a brand new custom-made wooden paddle wheel. It looked beautiful on the back of this boat. So definitely a lot of love and care going into this. All the planking and the wood work on the boat being refinished, redone, everything being taken over. Something like this, you know, you have to upkeep it consistently in order to maintain this aging attraction. But honestly, I'm so happy that they did. But at this time, obviously, this closed way back in September. We've been talking about this a lot on the podcast, and we still have no date for its reopening period, at least as of right now, when it comes to the calendars that we have available. So moving forward, it hasn't been listed on here. Now, Disney could change that at any moment, and all of a sudden, hey, it opens next week. We never know, right? But at least for now, it's on the calendar every day, as far out as the calendar goes at the moment. So it's probably a lot more work that still needs to be done on it. And technically, it doesn't need to be completed or done until they get closer to that Fantasmic reopening date when they need the boat for like rehearsals and stuff like that. So hopefully it opens much more sooner before then. But we obviously know that's like the end all be all. It must open by then. So something to keep an eye on. I love this attraction. Like I mentioned, it's one of my favorites. So I'll definitely be monitoring this one. And then over in Disneyland Park, we're continuing on with the Astro Orbiter. This is the rocket jets, essentially, in Tomorrowland. As soon as you walk in, those closed just before Thanksgiving, and they're going to remain closed also for an unspecified date. So we don't really know that just yet either. At the time of this podcast, when you're listening to it, I'm sure, because it's going to be in the future after recording this, Indiana Jones will have already closed, but it's only closing for just a week. So we've had a lot of closures at Indiana Jones this year. It seems like they're doing a lot of fixing and kind of retuning, retooling of some of the new things they've added to Indiana Jones. It closed on November the 27th, which was Monday. And then it's going to be reopening on the 1st, which is Friday of the same week. So not closed for very long, but if you were planning to visit this week on the week that this podcast comes out, Indiana Jones Adventure would be closed. And then if you're coming afterward, it's going to be reopened again. So something to keep in mind, that's all we have for Disneyland itself. So I wanted to move over now, as far as closures go, to Disney California Adventure Park. And we've talked about this one coming up here on Speculation Sunday on Mondo's Five Fires YouTube channel. And that is the Incredicoaster over in Pixar Pier. Now, when you're listening to this podcast, just like Indiana Jones, the Incredicoaster will already be closed as well. And just like Indiana Jones, it's opening the following weekend, I guess you could say. So Indiana Jones reopens Friday, and then Incredicoaster opens on the 2nd. So just the day after. And then, of course, over in Disney California Adventure Park, in the past, we also were talking about Schmoozies and how that was listed as like reopening in the fall, but we were already past fall going into winter and it still wasn't open yet. Well, the last time I visited the park, of course, Schmoozies over in Hollywoodland had reopened and they had a brand new register outside the windows that actually takes all of your orders and then you go to the windows for your order pickup. So, or if you had like a mobile order pickup as well too. So no more cashiers inside the building. They were all outside. And it wasn't like a temporary change. This is like a permanent change added outside the location. It was very interesting to see because it was kind of threw me off seeing it for the first time. But as far as Disney California Adventure, that's all the refurbishments that are on the register, at least at this point. Now, one thing we didn't talk about when it comes to Disneyland is the Haunted Mansion. Now, we talked about this again in the past on other episodes, but I wanted to bring it up in regards to the closure. So the Haunted Mansion obviously is Haunted Mansion Holiday for the time being, and that the holiday season goes through January 7th. Well, Haunted Mansion Holiday, of course, will close the day after the holiday season ends, but will remain closed for an indefinite period of time next year as they work on a lot of these changes that are coming to the attraction. We saw the changes planned for the exterior queue of Haunted Mansion that are going to be extending out into that space between that and Tiana's Palace restaurant. And we also saw the concept artwork from Disney showing a new gift shop at the exit of Haunted Mansion, taking over that space that used to be the Fast Pass distribution area for Splash Mountain a really long time ago. And then at one point it was used by Winnie the Pooh when that had Fast Pass. And then it kind of just became a dead space. And then Disneyland started putting Haunted Mansion Holiday and Haunted Mansion related merchandise in outdoor little carts right in that space. So as it became more and more of an established merchandise location that kind of kept going on and on and on, it makes sense now that there's going to be a gift shop there. But the rumor has it, and this is totally rumor, right? Disney could change anything at any moment. But the current rumor is that the Haunted Mansion would stay closed for the entirety of 2024. So once the attraction goes down after the holiday season, it would remain closed while they work on all these changes at the Haunted Mansion. And then it would reopen just in time for Haunted Mansion Holiday next year in 2024. So at the end of next summer. And that would mean that the regular Haunted Mansion wouldn't return to Disneyland until January of 2025, when the 2024 Haunted Mansion holiday season ends. So technically, it could be a really long time till any of us can experience the regular version of Haunted Mansion next at Disneyland. And again, this is not confirmed. This is just conjecture or speculation, as some would say. I wanted to bring it up because I was seeing this be brought up and discussed a lot. So I wanted to kind of throw it out there as a potential. We don't know exactly if or how long Haunted Mansion is going to stay closed. Maybe they can keep the Haunted Mansion open while they're doing this exterior work. But the rumors were saying the reason why it was going to stay closed was that Disneyland was working on a new way for disabled guests to access the attraction. Currently, as it stands, if disabled guests want to experience the attraction, they're going to go in after they've registered for their return time up through the Lightning Lane queue. They're going to go into the stretching room, aka the elevator, go down into the main part, the foyer of the mansion. And then you're going to proceed further onto the loading area for your Doom Buggy. A lot of times the ride has to be stopped in order for the guests to transfer from the wheelchair onto the attraction, which I feel lately is happening more than it ever has. So the attraction is consistently stopping all the time, leading people to think that the attraction's actually broken or having experienced downtimes all throughout the day, when in all reality, it's just disabled access guests having to transfer from the wheelchair onto the attraction because it is an Omnimover attraction. And if the ride has to slow down, that means every ride vehicle and every ride area of the attraction has to stop and slow down with it because it's all one giant conveyor belt. So the rumor has it was that Disneyland is working on a new way that would allow disabled access guests to experience the attraction and get onto a ride vehicle where the other parts of the attraction aren't stopped and interrupted for this attraction, for guests loading onto it that need more time to get on the attraction. So whether that's transferring from a wheelchair, whether that's someone that just, you know, takes a while to load and unload from a ride vehicle, they can do so at their own convenience and take as much time as they need. And then the ride vehicle could join onto the track, onto the Omnimover track, without disturbing the rest of the attraction and stopping it consistently all throughout the time. I think the last few times I've been on Haunted Mansion, I've never even experienced the attraction as of late without stopping at least once. It's actually quite jarring now. Really, you can't experience that attraction anymore without it being stopped. It's whether it's a guest just in general taking too long to get on or get off the attraction, whether it's someone, you know, transferring from a wheelchair or whatnot, it really has changed the way we experience the attraction. This happens a lot on rides like Little Mermaid as well too. But the rumors are, like I mentioned, they were going to be working on a new entrance for a disabled guest that would be somewhere on the left side of the Haunted Mansion, closer to where the train station is right now. and you'd be going down a different corridor via ramps where you could load onto the attraction, and then it could join the conveyor belt or the Omnimover, experience the attraction, and then it would come back and unload, and then the next disabled guest could experience it on their own terms. Now, a great way of thinking about this is if you've ever been to the Disney Skyliner at Walt Disney World, they actually have this system in place too. Obviously, a Disney Skyliner is sort of a conveyor belt, right? It's one cable car, and each cable car is like stuck to the cable at different intervals all throughout the cable, and it's consistently moving on a big giant wheel that's pulling all these trolleys along this cable car as it goes from one point A to point B. So if you're thinking about having to stop a car to load someone a little bit longer, obviously they're gonna have to stop the whole line to jump, you know, get the guests in the car, get it started, jump start it again, and then get it moving, right? That's how it would normally be in the past, but the Disney Skyliner actually has this system in place already where the guests can take their time, load into the vehicle, load into the gondola, and then once they're ready to go and they're ready to dispatch it, there's a place on the cable where the ride vehicle can attach itself and continue on with the rest of the Omnimover, the cable throughout the system. They have this in place, like I mentioned, for that Disney Skyliner, and it works very, very well. And it allows them to keep the flow of the regular attraction at normal speed, and then the disabled cars can jump on as they need and then jump off as they need. So that's basically a long-winded story of telling you that was the rumor, that they were building something like that for the Haunted Mansion so that the Haunted Mansion could continue to move as normal. And then the disabled access cars are the cars that guests with disabilities would need to use, could, you know, remove themselves from the track, let guests join on them, and then they could jump back on the track and join the rest of the ride as it's going normally. So we'll have to wait and see if that all pans out. That would be an amazing addition to Haunted Mansion, because like I said, lately, I feel like it's impossible to experience the attraction without it stopping at some point. So this would be a huge win, not only for their ease of access, but I would imagine, you know, a guest that actually needs the slower, like loading time, the ability to transfer at their own pace from their wheelchair or their, you know, whatever, their crutches, their cane onto the ride vehicle. That alone is stressful already. Not to mention, you know, regular guests standing around you waiting for you to finish what you're doing. That puts on more stress and anxiety with those people as well too. So having their own space off to the side is really, really nice. Another attraction that does this very well is Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. There's a whole loading section just for disabled guests. They can load, get in their ride vehicle, and the ride vehicle joins the rest of the train as it continues to move through the attraction. So really, really cool implementation. I hope this is true. I hope they can implement this at Haunted Mansion. And then everything could reopen next year when they reopen Haunted Mansion Holiday. If it is true, it'll be a little bit of a bummer to have to wait so long to experience the regular Haunted Mansion. But it'll be nice to see all these new changes to Haunted Mansion, like that longer exterior queue, a much more organized queue at Haunted Mansion, right? Once this all opens, we won't have that kind of tangled mess all throughout the New Orleans Square area by the train station. And then, of course, we'll have a brand new gift shop for just Haunted Mansion merchandise, which will fit in really well into the backdrop of Tiana's Bayou Adventure. So I'm excited for all these. If you haven't already seen the concept artwork I've been referring to and talking about for Haunted Mansion, I'll go ahead and link it in the show notes of this podcast. So if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, just click the little notes description of this podcast episode and you should see a link in regards to that. It's a Disney Parks blog post where they shared the artwork for that. So I'll link that so you can read more about it and see visually kind of what I'm talking about. Over in Downtown Disney next, I wanted to mention Christmas decor in Downtown Disney, the holiday decor that they have going on over there. I feel like they really stepped it up as far as the holiday decor, but more specifically, and I don't remember this from past years, and correct me if I'm wrong, send me a DM on Twitter or on Instagram, whatever you guys follow me on, let me know, because I don't remember a snowfall moment happening in Downtown Disney, but they're actually actively doing that now. So that space over by the bowling alley, the Wonderground Gallery, Tortilla Joe's. There's actually a really large Christmas tree there, which they've had in the past, so that's not new. But, you know, that's a lot of where people go that want to take a photo in front of the tree. But I felt like there's just a lot more holiday decor here than normal. In addition to that, they've been starting to do a snow moment in the evening in this whole space on top of all the buildings from in downtown Disney. They've been spraying snow onto the guests below. And to me, this is so bizarre for Disney to be doing such a cool entertainment offering for free in downtown Disney. Now, I know snow in like a shopping district from Disney is not necessarily a new thing. They've certainly been doing that at Disney Springs in their like their Christmas tree stroll that they had going on. That they had a whole snow moment in that over at Walt Disney World. But I just don't remember it at Disneyland. So if that's been there and I just totally missed it or forgot about it, let me know in a DM or an email. I'd love to know. I couldn't find anything in my photos or videos from past years. I did try to find some more information on the app as far as times of it. I couldn't find it. Maybe it's because I didn't know like the exact name of what that snow moment is called. Like when you're looking for it over in Disneyland on the Disneyland app, you're going to be searching for Wintertime Enchantment. And if you just type in snow, it doesn't necessarily pull it up. But Wintertime Enchantment would pull up, and that's when they do the snow moment over at Disneyland. So I couldn't find anything on the exact show times for it, but I did see a lot of people tag me on social media of this snow moment, some videos and stories on Instagram and stuff like that. It was really cool. So if you don't have a pass or if you're blocked out of Disneyland during the holiday season, what a great way to still get some holiday moments. Heck, you could even go over to the Esplanade and still watch the fireworks on those evenings and then get your snow moment over in downtown Disney. So honestly, it was really cool to see. And for guests that, like I mentioned, can't get into the parks, it's a really nice alternative. They're starting to bring a lot more entertainment offerings and things to do in downtown Disney. And the transformation's only continuing, right? We're in the middle of an 18-month transformation. A lot of things are still going on, still being constructed. We have new permits being filed for different construction happening in downtown Disney. Obviously, we have the construction still going on right across from the live entertainment stage. Of course, the Din Tai Fung restaurant. So a lot of things coming, a lot of things on the way. So downtown Disney is quickly transforming into a much more popular, much more thing to do area than it was before, at least in my opinion anyway. And the last topic I wanted to talk about before we head on out for this week's episode was about the Lightning Lane addition over at Disney California Adventure Park for the Little Mermaid Ariel's Undersea Adventure. Now, this attraction has never had Lightning Lane before, and it's not being added as an individual Lightning Lane, but rather just another selection for guests that are purchasing Disney Genie Plus. And we've talked about it on this podcast before and why I think it's a good idea, especially since there's not really too many family-friendly options when visiting Disney California Adventure Park that are under the Genie Plus umbrella. It seems like there's a lot more thrill rides and kind of scarier rides than there is family options. So this is definitely greater for guests that are only doing Disney California Adventure Park for the day, and also maybe guests who are park hopping that want some more family or friendly options on Genie Plus. However, this attraction was not built in mind for any sort of Fastpass queue or any sort of Lightning Lane queue like other attractions that are much newer or had them already implemented. So because of that, this has changed the way you access the attraction so they could add a Lightning Lane where there's not really a lot of room to add one. So now the main attraction, main entrance to the attraction, which is the big Palace of the Fine Arts replica, archway that has the attraction signage on it, that's now just an attraction exit, at least for now anyway. If you're going to want to enter the attraction, you're going to actually head all the way down the Pixar Pier main performance corridor as if you're going to get a corn dog closer to the Viva Navidad area of Disney California Adventure Park. You're going to go all the way down that performance corridor until you reach the Seaside Souvenir Store. And that's now the main entrance to the attraction, at least for now. They have directional signage so that Lightning Lane loads in on the left and then standby loads in on the right. Now they have some pretty actually intricately themed temporary like magic band scanners slash phone scanners for their Lightning Lane implementation over here. And then they also have cast members doing it on a handheld device. And this is kind of how they're doing it for the time being. We did speak to some of the cast members and they let us know that they are working on a more permanent addition for some of those posts that are in the ground that scan your magic band or scan your phone when you're redeeming your Lightning Lane moving forward. So it seems like that this location is always going to be potentially the standby entrance for the attraction, and that the main attraction entrance underneath the big Palace of the Fine Arts archway, that potentially will be the Lightning Lane entrance moving forward once they add the addition of those permanent posts there. So I'm thinking that if this ends up being the case, that they'll have to put a new attraction signage closer to where this entrance is to indicate kind of what guests are doing and where they're getting into, because this is not the main entrance to the attraction, right? It's off to the side. It's kind of unclear, unless you're seeing the other signage, what you're getting in line for. It's not apparently evident to a guest that maybe doesn't visit Disneyland all that often and know about the change. So I would imagine we see some sort of secondary attraction sign pop up here, indicating that that's what you're getting in for the standby. And then, of course, indicating the other side for a Lightning Lane entrance. So it's going to be different to see how they do this moving forward. For the time being now, I think they've implemented it the best way that they could, and not creating a pretty bad bottleneck over underneath that big archway. But what do you think about this? Let me know with whatever way you normally reach out to me. I thought it was a little strange, especially since they had so many cast members having to be there to direct the guests away from the front entrance down towards the pathway. And it's kind of a long walk from that. So I don't know. It's a little bit interesting. It felt to me a little bit like, I guess this is the only way they could do it kind of thing. But it almost felt like a second thought. Like it was kind of an afterthought of how they were going to implement this and do it. It's like, why was it started if the infrastructure wasn't in place yet? Maybe it shouldn't have been started, but I'm sure there's some sort of research that indicated they should do it now rather than wait for all that stuff to be built. So I'm sure there's some sort of market research or plan in place that made it seem like now was a better time to do it. So for now, just be aware that if you are going on that attraction and you're used to entering it from the way you normally would enter it, you're actually not entering it there. You're going to keep walking all the way down to Seaside Souvenirs by the corn dogs, and that's where you access the attraction now. But like I mentioned, that wraps up the news for this week's What's New and What's Happening at the Disneyland Resort for the 5571 podcast. Next week, we're going to be back with a special guest again. Once again, we're going to have a special guest confirmed this time. So we'll go back to some of our alternative topics as we kind of go into a more slower news period for the Disneyland Resort. There's not a lot of what's new and what's happening outside of current just holiday goings-ons, right? So we do have the Candlelight Processional happening at Disneyland the following weekend, so we can talk about who the celebrity narrator was for that, and of course a few news topics that'll probably pop up between now and then. But I want to get into some of those more Q&A episodes, more of those side topics with some guest hosts. So keep an eye out for those for the rest of the year as we move forward into 2024. And I want to also thank you for taking time out of your day, your commute, whatever it is, to listen to this podcast episode. And I want to make sure and ask that you please subscribe, follow, whatever it is on the platform you're listening to this podcast, so that it gets recommended, it gets, you know, pushed to other listeners just like you who maybe stumbled across this podcast for the first time. You can also leave reviews on whatever platform you're listening on. That helps as well, too. And if you want to turn on the little notification reminder, Apple Podcasts has that, Spotify Podcasts has that as well, so that you can be notified when there's a new episode. There's new episodes every week for this podcast, typically on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. But again, thank you again for listening to this podcast, and we'll see you next week.